Have you ever heard the phrase, all the gear, no idea? Can you identify? You try a new sport, suddenly you've got the outfit, the equipment, a whole new personality to match. There's been CrossFit, run clubs, pickleball. Look, I have been swept up in a few of these. And there's something about taking part in a sport where the social conditions can be just as important as the physical ability. Do I really need a $90 pair of shorts just to run in? What's pulling us in here? How are we not just picking up a hobby, but buying a whole new lifestyle? Well, I'm about to get into it with our resident consumer behavior expert here on Life Matters. But I also want to know, what hobby has had you dropping a wad of cash to look the part? Are you the kind of person that needs to buy all the gear to feel like you're part of something? Tell me about the sport that sucked you in and sucked your wallet dry. I will tell you mine in a minute, but I need to welcome to the stage Dr. Paul Harrison, Head of Consumer Behaviour at Deakin University. He joins me fortnightly for our segment, Buyer Beware. G'day, Paul.
Hi there, Tegan. I want you on the couch. I actually want to know what you've signed up for, actually.
Well, you've got to tell me yours first. Are you got a fitness obsession that's been expensive for you?
No, that's the weird thing. Like, as I was thinking about this story, I was just thinking, if Tegan asks me, what have I been obsessed with? I went to the gym, but I didn't spend any money on it. No, that's the weird thing.
Oh, I love spending money on stuff. It's no secret to anyone who's listened to many of my shows that I'm a rock climber, and that is a sport with some expensive gear, shoes, ropes, carabiners, harnesses, and you really want that stuff to be good because you don't want to die if you fall. So,
Are you outdoor rock climbing or are you indoor?
Sometimes outdoor.
Okay.
So, it gets expensive. But tell me about why. It's not just about safety for me. Like, it also is about looking kind of cool. I've eyed off more than my fair share of Patagonia branded t-shirts. What's happening in my brain when this is going on?
Well, I mean, I think ultimately it's about the key element is about, well, a couple of things. One of them is about belonging. So belonging to a group. I think ultimately what we do is contemporary life, particularly if we work in kind of cognitive type jobs like knowledge economy and even radio and those kinds of things, is that because our life is so heavily mediated, we're looking for things that challenge us, that gives us some sense of achievement. And I think, you know, if you're boulder climbing or if you're doing the high rocks or if you're doing reformer Pilates, it gives you this sense of achievement. And, you know, in our normal day lives, achievement is either fleeting or it's abstract, or, you know, we kind of hit metrics and then we move on. I think with things like really hard training, physical training particularly, it kind of ruptures that. It makes something feel real. And then the whole process around that is that we're starting to look for ways to belong to groups. And I think that's another big part of contemporary life, which is we've lost, you know, all of the different things that connect us to one another. So finding your mob, finding your tribe is a really important part of what it is to be human. And we find our tribes in the different groups that we join. And also we're doing this, you know, I think it's akin to a cult-like kind of mindset, which is that we're going through these processes that inculcate us into these groups so that it's actually really difficult to get out of it. And that includes being part of the, you know, the buying the products, those kinds of things, because as you and I have talked about before, often behavior precedes attitudes. And so if we're buying these things, eventually we say to ourselves, well, we must be part of this group because we've got all the gear. Therefore, we have to keep on buying the gear to be part of this group.
It's like a cult.
It is like a cult. I'm sorry. not a bad cult. A cult is just a cult.
Okay. Well, we could get into cults another time. I mean, you've been talking about this with your students and it sort of has gotten the juices flowing. Tell me about how this unfolded for you with your students.
I guess it was a couple of things. One of the things I do often with a new group is ask them if they had to delete all of the apps on their phone and could only keep one app, what would it be? And, you know, as normal, a couple of them or most of them were saying, you know, WhatsApp or those kind of communication apps. A few people said Instagram, but a large number said things like Strava, which I kind of initially I'd heard of it and I'd heard people talking about it, but Strava is very much a good example of that. And I think what I was doing is I was kind of asking them, well, you know, why would you keep Strava? And we eventually got to this point that they kind of feel like a sense of belonging. They feel like they can, in a way, talk to their group, you know, in a positive way. This is what I'm achieving. They set themselves goals. all of these things kind of drive their motivation. And I thought that was really interesting because, again, if you're not part of that group, I won't call it a cult, if you're not part of that group, then you don't really know what that means. And a lot of people would kind of go, well, you know, what is Strava? Or a lot of people would go, well, what is Reformer Pilates? Or another student actually said to me, somebody who's working with me at the moment, she said she wants to do her first HYROX this year. And I said, okay, what is a HYROX?
What is a HYROX?
A HYROX, well, she had to explain it to me, and it's quite complicated, but it's basically 8 kilometres of 1 kilometre runs, then you have to do some kind of activity. I mean, ultimately, we have to look it up and work it out because, again, it's not part of my tribe. It's not my group. But we are all susceptible to these things. And I think, you know, my daughter always talks about the cyclists who go past her house every Saturday morning. Again, this is just another group that people belong to. I've noticed people, you know, are talking about things like sailing and stuff like that. So we all find ways to connect with others. But it is this, and you and I talk about this all the time, sitting underneath it is just these human needs, this idea, this need to belong, this need to feel like we're achieving something, and then pushing back that kind of existential crisis of what is my life? And I think these are all of those kind of deep, heavy questions that we need, that marketing is really clever at exploiting.
Okay, because that's everything you're describing sounds wonderful, right? Community, yes. Feeling like you belong, finding something that feels good, moving around outside, big ticks in all of those boxes there. But when marketing is sort of coming in and hijacking that, what does that look like?
Well, I think what marketing and brands are able to do is that they are able to, well, one of the things that we talk about marketing is that most of the time it's based around really two steps. One of them is to create the need, is to kind of create this fear in a way. What is the fear? And the fear might be existential crisis. I don't belong. I feel like I'm not connected, or I can't find my group or something like that. But then what marketing does is it presents the solution. So it's literally two steps, create the problem, find the solution. And that's what marketing is very good at doing, and they do it through things like apps, selling you products, all of those kinds of things. It still sits below this desire, I guess, of these bigger human desires. And you're right. I mean, ultimately, if people are getting fitter, that's amazing. That's great. If people are finding friendships and groups to belong to, the self-efficacy itself, you know, I'm feeling like I'm in control. In a direct sense, it's working. I think, though, that the kind of underlying human conditions that we're seeking, which is really where most of our buyer behavior kind of is driven by, that kind of, I guess, that powerlessness, that sense of loneliness, maybe that dissociation that happens on Monday morning after you've done an amazing thing on a Sunday, the ultra marathon or whatever. This is kind of what ends up happening is that is untouched. It's not there anymore because, in a way, what we're doing is that we are buying into the marketing of it. And this is, you know, I know that I teach consumer behavior and marketing, but part of my approach is always to say we need to be critical of these things as well. We need to say these don't solve your problems. It's actually a bigger human thing, which is ultimately, you know, as I keep saying, belonging, not being ignored, wanting to be loved, those kinds of things. And you don't necessarily, you can't buy those things, as the Beatles said.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking to Dr. Paul Harrison, our resident consumer behaviour expert for Buyer Beware. We're talking about the costs of living a sporty lifestyle, not the costs to your knee joints, but the cost to your wallet when you have to buy, well, you don't have to, but you choose to buy the fancy gear that fits with the specific niche that you've found belonging in. If you have dropped a bunch of cash on a particular sport, I want to know what sport got you over the line. I'm very curious. As you can probably tell, this is a very non-judgmental space from me. I have done it myself many a time. Matthew says, Paul, one of what feeds the gear purchasing, particularly in the area of fitness, is that the reason you're getting involved in the new activity in the first place is to look better. And to fast track, you buy all the fancy gear that makes you look better even before you've lost the weight. Paul, is there something to that? There's something of like, it takes time to build fitness, or if weight loss is your goal, to do that. Does it kind of feel like you're accelerating the process by buying things?
Yeah, it does. And again, this is what marketing is very good at tapping into, this idea that you don't need to take time. You can do this quickly by buying the gear, that you can belong quickly. And I think, again, it is a genuine human vulnerability. We aren't patient creatures. What marketers are very good at is building products that give you that link between, you know, the actual self and the desired self. And they present it in a way which is easy to do. And the way it's easy to do is not to be patient and spend the time, you know, changing your diet and exercising more and those kinds of things, but just buying the gear and at least you can fit in. And I think, you know, that that's part of the sustaining the engagement bit as well. And what I mean by that is that if you're constantly saying, but I still don't look the way that I thought I would look, what you're trying to do is that then maybe I can use money, buy things to get me to that point where I look the way I look, the way I want to look. But, you know, we see that also in things like vitamins and all of those kinds of things. The health sector is very clever at kind of defining this idea that it's easy to do these things. All you have to do is work a little bit harder, give us a little bit more money. The big tragedy here is that marketing has been able to kind of monetize the idea of the gap between what people need and what they actually want and develop products to fit into those gaps.
How do you be a savvy consumer here then? When you do want to maybe look the part with your new tribe?
It's tricky, and I think find the tribes that aren't necessarily caught up in the money of it, in the marketing of it, and that's kind of hard. But you know, I know people, and you're probably one of them too, Tegan, who is an intentional person, and I know that. We've talked about this so often: is don't be hard on yourself, but also just sit back sometimes and be a little bit, I don't know, skeptical of these processes, and go, well, why am I doing that? I don't think they're bad. I just think sometimes we need to engage a little bit more with why we're doing it. And one of the things, you know, that you can do to prevent yourself from spending too much money is to slow the process down, is to step back and ask yourself, why am I doing this? Give yourself a break. Talk to people outside that tribe. We all have different tribes as well, so talk to people outside that, but also don't be too hard on yourself because, you know, you still got to live a good life.
Absolutely. Well, Paul, thanks as always for joining me. Dr. Paul Harrison is Head of Consumer Behaviour at Deakin University. He joins me fortnightly. I call our chats Buyer Beware. And thank you for sharing your text. Kay says, try buying a horse. You'll be broke before you even get to the Jodhpurs. Broke, but deliriously happy.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.